plans, there won't be a general election in May, but one in the second half of the year seems more likely. Nevertheless, catastrophic results in the upcoming local elections could mean that Rishi Sunak and his Conservative Party's days in power are numbered. Saipur is up, London.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, Allah wants to have a connection with you in the holy month of Ramadan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, an honor to be here at your service. So, dear listeners, we are talking about how in this holy month of Ramadan, Allah the Almighty wants to establish a connection with you. So, we understand that the holy month of Ramadan is a banquet. It is this feast. It is this great invitation, first and foremost, this is what it is. It is this beautiful divine feast, this banquet, this invitation. Second thing, who is the host? Who is the one inviting? It is the Almighty Allah, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Compassionate, the Merciful, the All-Powerful, the All-Knowing, the All-Wise. This is the host, Allahu Akbar. What a great host indeed. And who is the one who is being invited? Well, it is you, it is me, it is all of us, it is all of humanity. Now, unfortunately, the rest of humanity who, comes under the category of non-Muslims, they aren't able to benefit from this great feast, unfortunately. And perhaps, and most surely, I guess, it's farther than perhaps, it is our responsibility to try to create awareness and help these non-Muslims, to understand the holy month of Ramadan and to understand Islam and to hopefully bring them into this fold of salvation and prosperity. So still, we are talking about the holy month of Ramadan, and we're talking about how Allah wants to establish a connection with us. Before we start to talk about that, of course, we have realized that this holy month of Ramadan is all of these great things, right? So in our example, we said that it is Allah, the host, who is inviting us, the guest, to this divine feast. And so this is where that connection is being created. Allah is calling every single one of us towards Him in this holy month of Ramadan.
Ramadan al-Mustabin Jaa bin Nur al-Mubin Ramadan, Ramadan, Ramadan al-Qanitin.
Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we're talking about how the Almighty Allah, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Provider, the Giver of Life and the Giver of Death, the Giver of Eternal Life, the Sustainer, the Protector, the Nurturer, the Educator, the Wise, the All-Knowing, the All-Powerful, the Mighty, the Sublime, the Glorious, the Exalted, the Almighty Allah. So we said all these different attributes in order for us to realize the greatness and the status and stature of the one who is inviting us. And who is the Almighty Allah inviting? Well, it's all of us. It's all of humanity. It is the Muslims. It is the non-Muslims. The Muslims, by the grace of Allah, benefit more from this divine feast than the non-Muslims. And we had very quickly said that, it is our duty and responsibility to invite the non-Muslims into this great feast known as Islam. And so, like we said, that this connection is already being built where Allah is inviting us, and so it is up to us to accept that invitation, and it is up to us to, reciprocate that call for a connection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Mighty, the Exalted, is putting out there. This is the holy month of Ramadan, and I just want to, add one more thing, because again, time is something which flies, unfortunately, especially when you're doing good deeds. So, you know, may Allah accept from every single one of us. So what we find is that this connection that is being established in the holy month of Ramadan must be a connection that we keep, throughout the rest of the year. We must keep this connection strong. We must keep this relationship strong. It seems like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mighty, the exalted, has taken the first step in establishing this connection by inviting us to this great divine banquet in the holy month of Ramadan. And so it just seems fair and just and honorable and noble for us to accept that invitation, accept that call for a connection, and of course continue it for the rest of our Islamic lifestyle. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of A to Z. Don't forget to visit our website at parsetoday.ir/en, Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many others as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
You lift me up high, you spread my wings and fly me to the sky. So alive, it's like my soul thrives in your light. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan, Ramadan, Ramadan.
In the limelight.
Amid warnings by the United Nations of a looming famine in the blockaded Gaza Strip, which the United States enabled for nearly 5 months, Washington has now embarked on a new public relations campaign. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Press TV wrote, three American military aircraft airdropped about 36,000 food parcels over a tiny region with a 2.3 million population, which has been reeling under U.S.-backed Israeli regime bombing since October 7th. Unsurprisingly, U.S. military cameras were on standby to capture the moment when the aid was being loaded into the aircraft at night and the cargo later dropped from the sky. Many rightly saw it as a photo opportunity to mitigate domestic and international public anger for Washington's direct complicity in the worst humanitarian catastrophe currently unfolding in Gaza. The flashlights were switched on to add that extra dramatic Hollywood-style war element to the whole charade, with troops loading the cargo on a C-130 Hercules military jet in the middle of the night. The U.S. Central Command published the videos for global news media outlets, many of whom played along by broadcasting the warlike footage. The Biden administration tried to get a message across that the U.S. military is helping to ease the suffering of Palestinians in Gaza while being the mastermind and architect of their colossal tragedy. The U.S. cargo landed along the Gaza coast. some in the sea itself, and for each U.S. food parcel, hundreds of starving and desperate Palestinians rushed to get a hold of it, drawing criticism from aid agencies and rights groups. Tens of thousands of others walked back to their makeshift tents, hungry and traumatized. For 5 months, they have been struggling to survive amid relentless bombings and crippling siege. The U.S. airdrops of food were inefficient because only small amounts of aid can be dropped at a time from a plane in what was a major operation for all the wrong reasons. It is another dark stain in the history books for the United States regime, which has allowed the Zionist regime to kill and starve families instead of applying pressure on Tel Aviv to at least turn the water taps back on. If the White House was serious about helping the starving Palestinians, Biden could ring Tel Aviv and force the regime to open the land crossings to Gaza for real aid to enter, a key demand of UN agencies. However, that is not the case. The United States regime is directly aiding and abetting this genocide. Historically, in cases such as the Second World War, airdrops were used as a last resort. It shouldn't be a last resort for Gaza today, where the large majority of the 2.3 million Palestinians are on the verge of famine or deliberate starvation, while food and water are a few kilometers away. The Biden administration reportedly sent three C-130 Hercules aircraft over Gaza. One military cargo plane holds the equivalent of one truckload of aid. We keep hearing that Gaza needs an estimated 500 trucks of aid every day at minimum. 500 trucks of aid is the pre-war figure that wasn't enough then. The trucks required today to feed the starving people of Gaza is much higher. Yet, 500 trucks are waiting just across the border in Egypt to enter Gaza, and the Zionist regime with America's backing is preventing them from crossing. They are opting instead for airdrops, which may come across as compassionate to some watching on TV, but the reality is it degrades Palestinians who have been devalued as human beings for nearly 5 months now. Rightly so, the U.S. measures have backfired, drawing sharp criticism from aid agencies and rights groups. Medical Aid for Palestinians said in a statement, "Instead of dropping packages from the sky, some of which end up in the sea or outside of Gaza, and which the most vulnerable cannot reach in any case, the U.S., the U.K. and others should ensure that Israel immediately opens all crossings into Gaza for aid and aid workers to assist those in need." The International Rescue Committee said airdrops are not the solution to relieve this suffering and distract time and effort from proven solutions to help at scale. What makes this remarkably shameful for the Biden administration is that not only has the White House enabled the starvation to be used as a weapon of war in Gaza, collective punishment is a war crime, but it is American weapons that have murdered and starved the Palestinians. The Zionist regime war on Gaza is enabled by arms made in the United States, which is pulling the strings in the war on the besieged territory and using its veto power at the UN Security Council to avoid a ceasefire. These airdrops are also inaccurate, as the U.S. military has no control over precisely where the cargo will fall, leaving the dangerously large pallets parachuted off the back of planes to potentially land on a crowd of people in what is a very densely populated strip. And if they land in the sea, there is a serious risk of Israeli regime warships shooting at Palestinians desperate to collect them, with similar deadly incidents happening many times in the recent past. The UN has warned that famine in Gaza is inevitable unless aid deliveries increase significantly, with a quarter of 2.3 million population one step away from starvation. Starvation has already started to take the lives of Palestinian children. The World Health Organization data shows at least 10 children have been officially registered in a hospital as having starved to death. Highlighting the crisis in Gaza, a WHO spokesperson said, "The unofficial number can unfortunately be higher. The footage from Gaza looks like a powerful natural disaster has hit the territory, but this is nothing natural. The latest decision by the Biden administration highlights how much faster the Gaza Strip has become. This is despite reports surfacing of Palestinians eating animal feed to survive and children dying from starvation as a result of malnutrition and dehydration." Congratulations to all at the arrival of a spring and revival of nature.
Hi, I am Javad Qarai, an Iran trotter.
I think Iran is a unique country, and I'm supposed to award you with the beauties of my beloved country and my trips to the most pristine places in Iran, a country I wholeheartedly feel proud of. Many people in the world consider Iran as a desert country because it's located on the dry belt of the earth. They don't have the right image of the beloved Iran. Undoubtedly, a major part of Iran consists of vast and, of course, impressively beautiful deserts, but the fact is about 55% of Iran consists of mountains, and we can see that Iran is a mountainous country where the Alborz and Zagros are the most remarkable mountain ranges in the unique country. Alborz Mountain Range is very crucial as it houses the gorgeous Mount Damavand and the 40-million-year-old Hyrcanian forests in the north. And the Zagros Mountain Range stands out in western Iran due to its dense oak forests as well as numerous rivers and waterfalls. This time, I've traveled to a part of the Zagros mountain range in Delfan in Lorestan province, a region that enjoys ancient culture and art besides its unique nature and is home to passionate people who speak in Lakhi. Oh, what a place. It's like a blade and has a low altitude. But I never take a risk. If I want to walk in the mountain and reach a point, I'll try to choose the easiest path, not the fastest or shortest one. Because when you're traveling in nature or climbing a mountain, the easiest way will save your life, but short paths can be dangerous. I'm sure I can pass through this path, although it is steep and there are thin layers of stone. Those places are a little risky, but I know that I can. When I'm not sure if I can pass or not, there's no way I'll take the risk and take that path. This place is good. The stones stick together like thin layers, and they've created a very beautiful shape. But at the same time, it involves a great deal of risk. Look how beautiful it is, and of course, dangerous. I have to be careful I don't slip. Oh, look at the other side. It's an abyss. But I trespass this tree's territory. I'll pass by it without causing any damage to it. Oh, it was a very steep path. This is Zagros, with many steep mountains and deep valleys. Oh God, What a scenery.
I've
seen many oak trees in Zagros in different provinces, but what makes the oak forest in Delfon in Lorestan province stand out is the color of its soil. It's red. The green trees and red soil have created astonishing scenery. I think this place is like paradise for photographers. In any moment of the day, in the morning, at noon, or at sunset, gives you a great scene from different angles as a gift. Thank God I managed to come here. It was worth it. In Persian literature, Zagros is a symbol of resistance and steadfastness by the people who live among the hard stones and have learned very well how to overcome their problems. The men and women in the Lor, Kurd, and Khashgai tribes work hard side by side in the Zagros Mountains from the northwest to the south of the beloved Iran in order to earn their daily sustenance. They've created many stories at the heart of the tough mountains. They've memorized every line of the stories and have passed them down from generation to generation. They've told many stories at the heart of Delfon since thousands of years ago. Some people say Delfon is a land that is under spell because many wars have broken out in this place along the tortuous paths, and as the locals say, the mysterious mountains in Delfon were considered by the people in the past as the best place to bury their valuables. And some local people believe that Noah's Ark landed in this region. But whether that claim is true or false, hearing them by the locals made the trip doubly interesting for me. For me, if there is a treasure in this place, it is undoubtedly the mesmerizing nature of Delfon, which has cast a spell on me with its beauty and had dragged me all the way here. Considering the archaeological discoveries in the Khatun Ban and Dasht-e-Kaveh areas, It is an established fact that the ancient residents of this breathtakingly nice region were among the first people in the world who tamed horses. Unearthing a device named bridle made by bronze in some of the ancient graves in this region proves the fact. But the interesting thing that's discovered in the graves is that the bridle of some of the horses were under the head of their owners in their burial place. A cemetery for horses has been discovered next to this ancient cemetery, which is adjacent to the cemetery where humans were buried. If the rider died before the horse would be buried in that cemetery next to the owner. Red hills of Delphon, along with the flowers, plants, and purple and oak trees, created the scenery in the spring that can be seen in few places in the beloved Iran. But besides all the beauty and the generosity of nature, seeing the traces of destruction of Mother Nature by people ached my heart. Oh my God, look how splendid this tree is. How old do you think this tree I'm honored to stand next to is? This tree is over 500 to 600 years old. In fact, oak is a tree characterized by longevity. It takes a very long time for it to grow this big. Unfortunately, there are no trees besides these two on the farm you see behind me. There was a time when this place was dotted with old oak trees. I continue the trek toward Mount Mehrab, hoping the remaining oak trees in Zagros will be preserved. Zagros has abundant flora, and if we're a little lucky, we can see rarely found plants that not everyone gets the chance to see in their lifetime. And I was very lucky on this trip. This rare flower, and in fact this plant, is a member of the Kala Lily family. It is rarely found in Iran. It is mostly spotted in the western Zagros in scattered areas. In Farsi, this black, or I'd better say aborigine flower, is called baharak, or spring, because it only blossoms in the spring. The flower has a very bad odor. The locals call the plant kalakak, or small raven. It has an eye-pleasing metallic color. If you touch it, it feels like a donkey's ear. It is thick and velvet, but the smell is a repellent. The very beautiful plant stinks because it draws the flies. Many flies sit on the plant. The smart plant attracts the flies so it can pollinate and survive the next generations. When we walk in nature or climb the mountain, we have to watch our steps so we won't harm the plants. This plant, which is very rare in our beloved country, is at risk of extinction because of mountain climbers. We might push a species into extinction just because of our careless attitude. It's very beautiful, but the smell is really a nuisance. It stinks. I have to immediately leave this place. Nature is a symbol of God's beauty and elegance. It's always beautiful one way or another in any shape it is, but mountains are always glorious within nature and have been especially attractive for nature lovers. Usually high individual mountains like Damavand or Sabalon are elegantly outstanding compared to mountain ranges. But here in Lorestan's Delphan, there are two mountain ranges, named the Greater and Lesser Mihrab mountain ranges, that are undoubtedly as gorgeous as individual mountains.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودین
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones. But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن.
Muslim major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran.
كتاب الله.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. Today here we are with brother Fawad Haider and I'm really happy to say hello to him. Fawad, salam, how are you?
Salam, sir, I'm fine. How about you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us today. Inshallah, today we will talk about ayah 27 and 28, the ayatain, the two verses in Surah An-Nisa on page
83.
Brothers and sisters, turn to page 83, ayah 27 and 28 of Surah An-Nisa. Let's everybody once listen to the recitation, then inshallah we'll get back to our class.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wallahu yuridu an yatuba alaykum wa yuridu alladhina yattabi'una ash-shahawati an tamilu maylan 'azima. Yuridu Allahu an yukhaffifa 'ankum wa khuliqal insanu da'ifa.
Great recitation, nice one. Alhamdulillah, mashallah. We will practice the recitation as well. Yes, Fawad?
Yes.
Right at the very end of our class. But before that, we must mention some important points about this ayah. Let's
see. Explanations.
Yeah. Because meaning, when we understand what Allah Almighty says, it can affect our recitation as well.
Yes.
Sometimes you don't know what it means, okay? Just read it. You just say it's a text. I read it. Arabic text. But when you understand it, you wholeheartedly understand it. So you recite it
with a tone that sets the, that matches.
That shows
the,
you know it.
Yeah.
That shows you understand it. That gives you good feeling. That gives you good recitation, good vocal sound. Yeah.
So also the tone changes and matches with the verse.
Yeah, of course.
To make it more beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Because you feel it. Yeah. So let's say what Allah Almighty says in these two verses. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allah Almighty says in ayah 27 of Surah An-Nisa,
وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ أَن تَمِيلُوا مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا.
Allah Almighty desires to turn towards you clemently. Okay, it means Allah Almighty wants to accept your tawbah. يَتُوبُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah Almighty turns towards us. What does that mean? It means he turns, Allah Almighty changes his mind because he's merciful. So he changes his mind not to punish you because of your mistakes, to forgive you. But we learned about the conditions, yes? In the previous verses, ayah, on ayah 13 and 14.
Yes.
Yeah, about tawbah, we explained it. Then, so Allah Almighty desires this. Now, those who are not good believers, those who are not believers in Allah Almighty, those who are following their own desires, their evil desires, what do they wish for us? What do they desire for us? Look. But those who pursue their base appetites, desire, or evil desires, okay, they wish what? that you fall into gross, waywardness, okay? Like you fall into mistakes, into like guna, into sins, okay? So like those who really are not believers, they of course they, hi, come on, it's just a party, let's go. Forget it, okay? It's just once, okay? So God forbid, like maybe some kinds, our friends even take us to like what? To a very bad way. In the day of judgment, when a person sees himself like facing trouble, okay? He is having problem. He can't enter Jannah. He must go to the hellfire. What does he say? Oh, ya laytani. So he says that, oh, I wish lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. I wish I hadn't chosen that person as my friend. Why? Because he took me to that. He has done something to me that now I have to go to the hellfire. Got it? So our friends, sometimes they are very important, okay? They play an important role in our life. For what? We should be very careful, okay? To choose friends who are believers, who are mu'min, who are pious friends, okay? Good friends, not bad friends. So they usually want us, desire bad things for us. In fact, and apparently they look good, but in reality they are not, right? So, in the next ayah, Allah Almighty says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ. Allah desires to lighten your burden, your punishment, okay? وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. For man, because man was created weak. Insan is created very weak. So a little punishment comes to him, oh, جَزَعٌ وَفَزَعٌ. There are a lot of, like, you see, you hear a lot of like cries, oh God, this is difficult for me, I can't bear this kind of punishment, please. Allah Almighty will say, hey, when I told you, like, stop committing sins, you did not listen to me, now, like, test it. Yeah. So, very beautiful points, but there are a lot of points still, okay, left that you can refer to the Tafasir books, interpretations, inshallah, and learn them there.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات المولى.
IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Savior International Schools presents
والكون الواسع في صدري أحضنه أرضا وسماء.
Let's recite the Quran.
ربي قد نلت منايا وبختم كتابك أرقى وبختم كتابك أرقى.
Now we will mention some tajweed rules, important ones in these two verses, and together with Fawad, brothers and sisters, we'll practice the recitation, and we will ask you as well to practice. Ready, Fawad?
Yes.
Wallahu. The first rule we mentioned today is about the pronunciation of the word Allah. And also the word Allahumma. So they are pronounced the same, and they have the same rule. So can you explain it, Fawad? How? When can I? Because, look, I'm reading these two different words. Wallahu bismillahi. The word Allah is pronounced differently in two ways.
Yes.
So can you tell us the rule, when to pronounce it with A sound, when to pronounce it with A sound?
So before you pronounce the word Allah,
mm-hmm.
the word before it was ending in a kasra.
Mm-hmm.
In that situation, the word Allah is pronounced lightly.
Uh-huh.
But the letter which is most affected in that word is Lam.
Lam, all right. The word, the letter Lam. So you say that if there is a kasra sound or a kasra harakat, right before the word Allah, the last harakat before the word Allah
yes.
preceded, yes? The word Allah will be pronounced?
Lightly.
Lightly. Bismillah. Ah, the letter Mim has a kasra. Bismillah.
La.
La. So, what? How can I read it with A sound?
So, if there's a fatha or a dhamma.
Ah, instead of kasra.
Yeah, instead of kasra, exactly.
So, you pronounce it with a?
Heavy sound.
Heavy sound. So, like what? Wa. Wa has a fatha. Wallahu. If it was a kasra, willahi. Right? Wallahu. So, good job. Thank you. Yuridu an yatuba. Do we have a rule here? Anything to mention? An yatuba. We got a nun sakin.
Ah, yes.
You wanted to say the rules.
Yeah, so there are four rules for nun sakin and tanween. Idgham, Ikhfa, Idhar, and Iqlab.
Yeah.
There are four groups of letters for each one. So, yeah, is in the group of Yermanun letters
that
which
you
belong to the
Idgham
rule. Idgham.
Merging.
Yeah, merging.
How do you merge?
So, you create a double ya sound.
All right.
Instead of double noon.
Noon is kind of omitted.
Yeah, kind of.
The a is joined with the ya.
Yeah, so.
How do you read it?
Ayyatu.
Ahsant, mashallah. Ayyatu. Do we have to prolong the sound as well?
Yes.
Two beats. And a nasal sound also.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Wallahu yuridu ayyatuba alaykum. Can you read it once?
Wallahu yuridu ayyatuba alaykum.
Ahsantum alaykum, mashallah. Wa yuridu alladhina yattabi'una ash-shahawati. Look at the wow. There is a dagger aleph, or baby, or a small aleph. That changes the sound to an sound. Shahawati. Like a longer sound. Good job. Antamilu. Why did I pronounce it? I didn't pronounce the noon sound correctly.
Yeah, because ta is from the rest of the letters. It's in the, like, there are three groups of letters that have specific letters. The letters other than these letters are categorized in the rule
Ikhfa.
So any letter which is under the rule of Ikhfa that comes after Nun Sakin or Tanween, you hide the sound.
You hide the sound of Tanween or Nun Sakin.
Yes.
Good job. So instead of pronouncing it like An Tamilu, I should hide the sound of Nun. An Tamilu.
Yes.
Right? Okay. An Tamilu Maylan Azima. So here is as well a Tanween. Why I didn't do it? Maylan
Azima. Ayn is a throat letter.
Ah.
And throat letters belong to the group
Idhar.
Idhar.
Idhar. So it means no changes.
Yeah, no
changes. So can you tell us what are the throat letters? There are six throat letters, yes? Let's review them.
Ayn.
Hamza.
Hamza.
Ha. Ha. Kha. Aynan.
Ayn.
Ayn. If one of these six letters comes right after the Tanween or Nun Sakin, do not change the sound of Tanween or Nun Sakin. Read it the same as it is. Maylan Azima. Not Mayla Azima or Maylan Azima. Nothing. No changes. Good job. So, Aziman. There is a Tanween. In the rules of stopping, how to stop at the end of words, Tanween Fatha will be changed to?
Alif Mad.
Alif Mad. How do you say? Aziman.
Azima.
Azima. Thank you so much. So you read it this way. Antamilu maylan azima.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Next ayah. Yuridu Allahu. The same pronunciation with Allah. Heavily. Yes. Ayyukhafifa. Like what?
Ayyatu.
Ayyatuba. Ayyukhafifa. Kha has a heavy sound. Ankum. Here. I hit the sound of like noon. Why?
Yeah, because kaf.
Kaf
is from the rest of the letter.
Ah, the same as antamilu, ta. Yes.
Yes.
So ankum, I hide the sound of noon. Wa khuliqa, qa has a heavy sound. Al insan, khuliqa al insan. Noon sakin plus sin. That's as well from the rest of the letters. Yes. I should hide the sound or no?
You should hide it.
Hide the sound. How do you read it?
Khuliqa. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانِ
إنسان. Good job. ضَعِيفًا again will be changed to ضَعِيفًا. Right? وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. That's all about the Tajweed rules. Ready to recite together?
Yes.
Okay, listen and repeat. بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ والله يريد أن يتوب عليكم والله يريد أن يتوب عليكم ويريد الذين يتبعون الشهوات أن تميلوا ميلا عظيما
ويريد الذين يتبعون الشهوات أن تميلوا ميلا عظيما يريد الله أن يخفف عنكم يريد الله أن يخفف عنكم وخلق الإنسان ضعيفا وخلق الإنسان ضعيفا صدق الله العلي العظيم. أحسنتم ما شاء الله. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters. We hope inshallah you have learned this. And this session was beneficial for you. Thank you so much for being with us. Thanks, Fawad, for being with us and practicing with us today. Inshallah, next session will continue with Surah An-Nisa. Thanks to Arab English Radio. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for being with us. Walhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi al-Tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Iranian Radio Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Headlines today, 170 of the U.S.-Israeli genocide in Gaza, where the death toll tops 32,200. The U.N. chief reiterates calls for a ceasefire in Gaza and says the territory needs a flood of aid. And Russia observes a day of national mourning for the victims of the Friday terror attack
near Moscow.